Christ is risen. I am not alone is our title today. John 16, 23 to 33 is our text. As we get to our text this morning, Jesus, what we hear today is part of Jesus talking as in what we often call his farewell discourse. It's quite a few things that he says as he says goodbye to his disciples. It's a part of what we call Maundy Thursday, that communion, as they have the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, Passover, there, the day before Jesus is crucified. If you were here last week, we spoke about Jesus talking about going where they could not follow, and that he would go where they could not follow, and then he would return. And after he talked about that, he gave them a lot of encouragement about heaven, about what is awaiting those who are trusting in him for eternal life. He gave them the promise of the Holy Spirit that would come after the resurrection. He gave them a description of the vine and the branches, and maybe you're familiar with that one, and talking about remaining in him as the branches remain in the vine for their life. He talked about the world hating the disciples, warning them that that would be the case. He talked about the Holy Spirit some more and how he would guide them as they were without him. And then he spoke again about leaving, about going, and then coming back. Going and then coming back. And that's our immediate context of our text today. Jesus said that he will be gone, and that when he goes, they will grieve. The disciples will grieve. So obviously he's talking about his crucifixion. They will grieve, and the world will rejoice. The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, would rejoice when he was crucified, but they would mourn. But then he would return, and their grief would be turned to joy. And he said, no one can take away that joy. That joy is ours because of Jesus' resurrection. But we know that things in life are not always easy. There are a lot of things that come our way in life. And so we might ask, how is that joy ours? And how does that stay, even through the difficult times of life? What is it that keeps that joy permanent in our lives? That's where we get to in our text today. John 16, 23 to 33. I'll invite you to stand as you are able. John 16, 23 to 33. Reading in Jesus' name. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Do you now believe? Jesus replied. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning. And as we consider Jesus' words first to his disciples and then to us and his encouragement, we ask that you would help us to be encouraged as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll invite any of the kids that would like to come up to the front to come up at this time. All right, come on up. Got a few of you. A little bit of a light group this morning, too. How are you guys doing today? Have you ever had somebody that you really care about, that maybe a family member, somebody that is part of your family, maybe a grandparent or a cousin or somebody like that, that lives far away from you? Do you have anybody that lives? Yeah, you guys, all of you have people that live far away from you. Is it hard sometimes if you want to spend time with them? Are there times where you want to even talk to them and you can't? Yeah. What do you do at those times? Well, you try calling them on the phone, right? And sometimes that works pretty well. Call them on the phone, right? Yeah. Do you ever do anything else? Do you ever do anything else? You get a video? You ever do a video? Maybe that's what you mean on the phone. It's almost all video now, right? Yeah, you just get them on the video. You don't even have to do just talking to them, right? You can see them there. Is that the same as being right with them in the same room, though? No. What are some things that you are different about that? What do you think? What are some things that are different, talking to them on the phone or being in the same room? What can you do in the same room that you can? Okay, let's see.
You can play games.
All right, you can play games with them. Now, there might be some ways to play games over the phone, but it's really not the same thing. I mean, you can run around. If it's cousins, right? You can run around with them, play games, other things. What else? Can you give them a hug over the phone?
No,
it's just the phone, right? It's just a piece of something, right? Hug them. No, if they're there, if they're really there, you get to give them a hug, right? Is that nice? Is it nice to give them a hug? Well, what I'm getting at here is think about God. Can we see God? Can we? No, it's kind of like he's far away sometimes, right? Does it feel like he's far away? Like maybe heaven is far away?
Yeah.
Does it? It might? You said no. Why is that? He is, isn't he? He's always with you. Even if it doesn't feel like it, he's right with you. And while we might not always imagine God giving you a hug, it's kind of like that. It's almost kind of like he's always giving you a hug. And he's right together with you. So that's actually the picture I've got here today is kind of, this is representing God. We know that he doesn't look like that, right? But we have a picture representing God there with a couple of people here. And it's like he's right with them, right? So that's what we're thinking about today. Here we go. Actually, there aren't very many of you here. I've got way too many today. You can share with some of the grown-ups if you want. All right, thanks for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Well, we're thinking about God's presence. God's presence with us. That's where we'll get to. As Jesus is talking to his disciples, he begins our text today by saying, in that day. Now, if you remember, I said that as he led up to this, what he was saying right now, he was talking about going away and coming back. Now, we could think of going away to heaven and then coming back at the end of time. So that's also a sense in which he went away and came back. But immediately, based on what he just said, he's talking about his resurrection. When he would go away as he was crucified, and then he would come back as he rose from the dead and got to see them again and got to be with them again. And then, so he talks about in that day. And he's talking about some of the things that will be true in that day, as his resurrection is true. And then, even more fully, on Pentecost, when his followers receive the Holy Spirit. He says, you will no longer ask anything. You will never not ask me anything. But then it's interesting because later on he says, ask. Ask for things. So what is he talking about here? Well, what he's talking about is not asking in the way that they had been asking. Or maybe sometimes not even asking. Sometimes they would wonder. Jesus was talking to them about different things, even talking about going away and coming back. And they thought, what is he talking about? And sometimes they would ask him the question, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? One of them asked at one point. But at other times, Jesus simply knew what they wanted to ask. And so he answered their questions even without them asking. But what does he mean about going away and coming back? And these things earlier, before Jesus' death and resurrection, they had poor understanding of what was going on. of what Jesus' purpose was. And as they didn't know, sometimes they were even afraid to ask him. Death and resurrection, especially of the Messiah, was unfathomable to them. They didn't have categories of thought to put this into. And so they wondered, they were confused. After Jesus' resurrection, when they saw all of this and when they learned this, when they rejoiced at his resurrection and he explained to them, now that they knew what had happened, they would not have to ask questions like that anymore. But now he says, ask. Ask. Not necessarily in that way, but ask in his name, and the Father will give whatever you ask. Until now, he says, they had not asked anything in his name. Well, that's kind of interesting. He's not asked anything in his name. Why hadn't they? Well, for one thing, they didn't know to do that. They didn't know that they could do that. As we're thinking about praying, as we're thinking about talking to God, they would not have approached God in Jesus' name. They hadn't been introduced to that. They had prayed, but their prayers were very, very focused in a limited way. They did not have, in what God had given them, they did not have access to simply pray to God in any way at any time. Their praying to God was in the context of Judaism, in the context of the Old Covenant. And so it would be in conjunction with their sacrifices, as they sacrificed to God. Without the temple, they didn't have a way to do that. But they had ways of saying prayers in relation, particularly to the Old Covenant. So having to do with asking forgiveness for the ways that they had broken God's commandments and things like that. But now, in Jesus' name, means that their prayers would be connected to him and who he is. Connected to the new covenant. Connected to the completed work of death and resurrection, payment for our sins, and a resurrection to give us new life. And so God would give, as we ask him, according to Jesus' name, according to what he has done, God will give whatever we ask. As we ask for understanding to know God's word, as we ask for understanding to know how to share that with others, as we ask for other things that are connected to spreading the good news of Jesus, including the things that we need for life. As we ask for those things, God says he will provide as we ask according to what Jesus has done. And that promise, not just for the disciples, but that promise is for us too. And he tells them, and your joy will be complete. Your joy will be complete. Complete in understanding, complete in serving. Your joy will be complete. So he says, ask in his name, ask in Jesus' name. And then now Jesus tells them a little bit more about this asking. And he says, though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. Now, as it's translated this way, speaking figuratively, it doesn't necessarily mean what our conception of figuratively means, using only similes or metaphors and things like that. But it also has to do with this idea of speaking in ways that are true and somewhat clear, but not necessarily easy to understand. Jesus was speaking of hidden things. Hidden because what he was talking about had not happened yet. And so they didn't quite understand it. It had not yet been revealed. But a time is coming when he will talk plainly in terms that the disciples would understand. As he rose again from the dead and he appeared to them and he spoke to them, they now knew, oh yeah, okay, I get it. That's what dying and, you know, the Son of Man dying and rising again means. Well, he was going to die and rise again. He actually meant that. Jesus actually meant what he said about that. And this is what it is. Okay, now I get it. Now they understand a little bit more. And so as Jesus explained to them after his resurrection what had happened, what he had done, they now could understand. He was speaking clearly earlier. He was speaking clearly, but in the context, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. As we think about this, we have the revelation that of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's true. So we understand that part. But even so, sometimes there are times when God's word is not always clear to us. And in addition to that, even though Jesus' death and resurrection already happened, each one of us still needs to learn it, right? Each one of us still hears it. And it's new for each one of us when we do. And so things are not always clear as we first come across God's word. And even if as we come back to it again, we continue to learn. And we learn more, and the Holy Spirit works in us until we understand clearly. And that's the promise that Jesus gives. And he says, there's more to understand about the Father. For the disciples, certainly, they needed to understand some new concepts about God. But I think it's still true about us today, too. There's still some things to learn about the Father. Now, before Jesus came, there was some distance to God. There were some barriers to reaching out to God. Worship was at the temple. As I said, they didn't have direct access to go to God as we do now. In that day, though, after the resurrection, and especially after Pentecost, we would ask in Jesus' name, and Jesus says, not that he will ask. So not that we pray to Jesus and then Jesus goes to the Father as if there's still another level. Now, we understand that Jesus is God, right? But he does tell us to pray to the Father, to God the Father. And so there is not, Jesus makes clear here, there is no other level of intermediary for us to go to the Father, for us to go to God. There's nothing there between us and him. We don't pray to Jesus. He asks God the Father. No, we can pray directly. And he says this, no, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So out of God's own love, we can go directly to him because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has drawn them to himself. They have followed him. They loved him. They got to know him. They got to know God in human flesh. The Father loves them. He loves them as a father, not distant, but loves them as a father, right there with them. Now, I think the image that might come to mind, it might come to your mind, it comes to my mind, as we think about intermediaries, might be thinking about the role of saints and the Virgin Mary in the Catholic Church. Now, we might ask, well, what is their role? Well, you know, in reality, I'm not really sure, because I'm not a part of that, so I don't know exactly. But the image that is often presented is that they function as intermediaries between, so someone that can help you get to God. Now, I'm not sure entirely if that's true or not, but as that image goes, that image is false. We don't need intermediaries to go between us and God. Those are not necessary. They're not even real. We can go directly to God, to Jesus' Father, and to our Father. As I said, I guess I should clarify. I had the note in here, but I should clarify. As I say, they are not even real. What I mean to say by that is, as I think about the saints and the Virgin Mary, is that these are the idea of them being able to hear us and then be able to transmit that is not even real. That's not even a real thing presented to us in Scripture. We can go directly to Jesus' Father and to our Father. Jesus says, I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Now, this here is an encouragement to us, and it's pretty much a declaration of Jesus' divinity. As he talks about coming from the Father, he originated with the Father. I mean, in all eternity, he is with the Father. He was not just born, but he came into the world. He entered the world in a different... Sometimes we talk about entering the world for the rest of us humans. But for Jesus, it was really true that he had origin outside. You know, eternal origin outside of this world and entered the world. And now he is going back to the Father where he came from. Now, Jesus had talked about speaking in plain language. And the disciples now, as he says a few more words, they think they got it. They think they know now. And so they said, now you're speaking clearly without figures of speech. It's funny because Jesus had just said, no, you're not quite understanding right now. You'll understand later. And they said, well, now we've got it. Now we understand. They said, you know all things. You don't even need to have anyone ask you anything. They're amazed at Jesus' understanding. And even though they're all afraid to ask, he answered anyway. And they say, this makes us believe that you came from God. So they're starting to see. But, you know, they think they've got it now. But as we see later, we know that they didn't understand. Jesus said that he hasn't spoken clearly, and they say that he has. But, you know, we know still, you know, Peter says he can go with Jesus. No, he's going to deny him. Jesus would explain later, after all these things, and finally they would get it. And even waiting for the Holy Spirit, even with the Holy Spirit coming, that's what really made a big difference on them being able to share with others. Well, we might ask the question, how about for us? You know, those of us who are believers, who are a part of God's family, have the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to think about that and how he reveals the truth to us. Having said that, do we understand everything that there is to understand? Well, there are some times, I think we get it. You know, we get some of it. We think we understand. Maybe especially if things are going well in our life, we can say, yeah, I got it, I understand. But then something happens, something comes into our life that's unexpected. Maybe we meet somebody that has a totally different worldview, and we don't know how to approach that. We don't know how to respond to it. Something changes in our situation. Maybe there's new opposition to the good news of Jesus, and we find that maybe we don't quite understand everything as well as we thought we did, or there's more to it. We have the most important thing already, more than the disciples did. We have the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, and that's the core around which every other bit of knowledge is centered. So we have a good foundation. And so as we encounter things that are unexpected in life, as we encounter troubles in life that are hard to go through, as we encounter challenges to our faith that we might not know how to respond to, as we find these things coming at us in our life, we have that good foundation of Jesus' death and resurrection, and we can return to that, and we can investigate that even further. And so as the disciples think they understand now, Jesus responds, do you now believe? Some others translate it as a statement. Some other versions. You now believe. Oh, good. We ask the question here, is he encouraging them or is he questioning them? Is he saying, you now believe, but you have more to learn? Or is he saying, you still don't quite believe yet. You think you do, but you don't quite yet because there's more to it. As I said, he had just said that they don't quite understand yet, even though they think they do. But he tells them this. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. How does that fit? How does that sound to them when they think they believe in Jesus, they understand, they've got it now, and he says, a time is coming when you will be scattered. They would scatter. Now, some of them, a few of them, would observe cautiously from a distance. Peter and John, we find near him at his trial, although, of course, Peter was the one who denied him and left, fled out of there when he realized what he had done. John was near him at the cross, but not close enough to help him, not close enough to be identified with him and be crucified alongside him. So in reality, they were all scattered, and Jesus was left alone, humanly speaking. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And this is where we're getting to in all of this today, as we're thinking about Jesus talking to them about the Father and about who the Father is for them. Jesus says, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. No one is alone. No one is alone if the Father is with them. Jesus said later, as he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, How do we reconcile these statements when Jesus says, I am not alone, and yet he talks about God forsaking him? Was God with him? I think the moment of his death, the moment of his crucifixion, as he was dying and as he cried out about being forsaken, is not comprehensible to us. What does that mean, for God to be forsaken by God? We can't fathom that. Regardless of the moment, of what was happening in the moment when Jesus bore our sin and how that impacted him and his relationship with the Father, regardless of all that, the Father was with him. The Father was with him through his trial, through that crucifixion. And now, why does Jesus tell them that? It's good for him to know it, but he tells them that. I am not alone. Why does he tell them that? He tells them this so that they will have peace in him. He's telling them that he will leave. And, you know, he will return after the resurrection, but then he will leave again as he goes to heaven. He would send the Holy Spirit, who is not visible, but is in us. And then he says, in this world you will have trouble. In this world we will have trouble. And the disciples, they sure did. Except for John, as far as we know, all the rest of them were martyred. And he suffered troubles as well in his life. Now, the focus that Jesus has here is especially trouble from the world that is due to our faith. He says, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. What is he getting at in these last few statements there? As the Father did not leave Jesus, as Jesus could say, I am not alone, so the Father will not leave us. And we also can say, I am not alone. Now, hopefully, we hope that we will always have other believers around us that can encourage us. And we will not feel alone because we have that. And it's wonderful to have that when we do. Hopefully that's true for us. But even when there are others around us, it could be that those around us don't understand what it is that we're going through. And so we can feel alone, even though there are friends and family around us. So it's good to be reminded that since God has saved us, and called us to him, that we can say, in whatever part of life we're in, I am not alone. I am not alone. When we have trouble, we can have peace. We can have peace because the Father is with us, because we can understand. The Father loves us and will give us everything that we need. We can ask the Father in Jesus' name, and he provides. He provides the understanding we need. He provides the things that we need in this life. And he provides the peace and comfort and hope of knowing I am not alone. What a wonderful promise we have. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your presence with us in all of life. Thank you that we are not alone. No matter what is happening in life, that we can trust in you. Trust that you are there with us. Help us to say, in whatever comes our way, I am not alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.